black thing go from left to right, and I thought, I'm going to die out here. No one's ever going to know.
And I couldn't believe what my eyeballs were showing me. I'll never forget how evil the eyes were. It was horrible. I mean, I've never seen nothing that evil.
It ran towards me at a rate that I can't even explain. Turned and stared at me. And this look of, I just want to kill you. I want to say it was human, but it wasn't.
He was yelling at me to grab a gun, grab a gun. I was like, for what? He said, just grab a gun. And there's footprints all the way to the door of my house. It had went inside my garage all the way to the door.
911, what are you reporting?
Jesus Christ, you better... Sheriff, see
ya. Hello?
Get somebody out here.
What's going on now, sir?
That son of a bitch is about 6'9", I don't know.
Do you see him now, sir?
Yes, I'm looking right at him.
Uh-oh.
You're listening to Sasquatch Chronicles. Check us out online at sasquatchchronicles.com. If you've had an encounter, email me. My email address is wes@sasquatchchronicles.com.
Welcome to the show, everyone. Thanks for being here tonight. Got a great show planned for you tonight. We're going to be talking to Carl, and Carl comes to us from Ohio, and this encounter took place many years ago. They kind of lived out in a rural area, and as Carl and his family were pulling in one night, the headlights had lit up this creature standing in the wood line, and Carl kind of explains what he thinks the creature was doing and how they interrupted it. We're also going to be talking to Scott. Scott comes to us from Ohio, and him and a buddy of his were driving down the road, and as they came around the corner, there was a creature standing on the side of the road. Scott says as they passed it, the sunroof was open, and the thing was so large he was looking up through the sunroof as it was looking down at him. And then we'll wrap up with Jason. And Jason comes to us from upstate New York. He's going to be sharing some encounters with us too as well, including one very strange encounter of a craft that was sitting in the sky above him one night that really upset him and his girlfriend as they were out in the woods. If you've had an encounter and you'd like to be on the show, shoot me an email. My email address is wes@sasquatchchronicles.com. And if you get a chance, check out sasquatchchronicles.com. You can become a member and get additional shows. Let's jump into it tonight. I want to welcome Carl to the show. Carl, thanks for coming on.
Sure thing, Wes. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I appreciate you being here. And I know that you had an encounter several years ago in Ohio. If you would you just kind of start from the beginning, kind of tell us what you were doing and what happened?
Well, first we'll give you a little lay of the land. It was a nice piece of property. Matter of fact, the property I lived on was in the county that was the highest point in that county. You could stand on top of it, on top of the hill on the property we lived, and you could see three different states. It was the beginning of the foothills, you'd call it, of the Appalachian mountain chain. You could be in West Virginia, Pennsylvania, Ohio, all in a 20 minute radius. And long story short, it was really, really hilly, beautiful country, really beautiful and great for deer hunting if you're a hunter. The property I lived on was been in my family for a long time. Grandparents owned it, passed it on to their kids and then to my father. And, we grew up just like any kids, playing in the woods, playing in the pond, playing in the creeks, and, never thought anything was out there like that. I was 12 years old. We had went to my grandmother's who lived in a little town there, we lived out in the country, and like I said, she lived about 30 minutes away. We spent the evening there and came back. It was, I'd say, 10 o'clock. I was 12 years old, 12 or 13. I can't really remember. I'm 51 now. It's been so long ago. It's a vague memory. But I remember that night pretty – I remember that night. It was an eye-opener. We'd come up the driveway, and we had a driveway that kind of wrapped around and then dropped down to a garage that we had. And we had a wood line. My father kept a lot of it mowed, the grass mowed and stuff. And we had a pond, and then we had about 10 foot off of that pond that was mowed all the way around it. And then maybe 12 foot. And then the wood line started, and he had a pretty big doorway opening, like a not a doorway, but like a corridor, I guess you'd call it, that went up into the woods that he drove an AN tractor up in, would cut wood. And that was about 10 to 15 foot across. And you could actually walk up in it. He kept it mowed in the summertime, so you could make your way up into the woods. And the car had lit that whole area up. The car lights did. We were riding in an old car we had with no air conditioning, of course, the windows down. And it was really hot that night, and the moon was out. I remember it was just a real hot summer night, and I was almost like hanging out the window, just riding with my arm hanging out the window and looking out the window. And when he turned that bend to make the drop down into our driveway, it kind of lit up that whole area, and the lights stayed on that area for a few seconds the way the road was designed. And then when the car parked, it still was pointing out towards that area. What it did is it lit that area up. And when it did, I saw a big figure standing there. And I couldn't really make out any facial features or anything like that. Just the fact that you could tell that it had a face, and it had shoulders and legs and a body, and it was big. I'm saying 9 foot tall, 8 foot tall. It was really big. And you're looking at about a 25 yard area there. So, I mean, it was kind of hard to gauge the height, except that, you know, it's big. And then when the lights hit it, I did see a little bit of shimmer off of the headlights of the car, off of the fur. So I know it was hair covered. And the thing that stood out the most was the shoulders. This thing, it had to have been 4 or 5 foot across shoulders. It was just, When you're 12 years old, you don't think there's stuff like that in the woods. and it basically, when it seen those car lights, it kind of stepped back a little. There was a big tree there, and it stepped back a little, and almost it was too big to hide behind the tree, but it kind of shifted its body weight back behind the tree a little bit, kind of half in, half out by the tree. And then the car stopped, and I kind of said, "Did you see that?" Well, nobody really reacted. And so when the car stopped, I jumped out of the car like a fool. I don't know why. If I'd have known now if I'd have knew then what I knew now, I'd have never got out of the car and ran like I did. But I got out and ran kind of towards a little bit to get a better look. I knew I was far enough away that I didn't have to worry about anything jumping out and getting me, but I was staring at it, and by then the car lights shut off, and instantly I heard these puppies crying. And we had a dog that just had 7 puppies a couple weeks prior to that. And we had them on a porch, and they were in a box. The box had the top cut off it, so the mother could step in and out of, but the puppies couldn't get out of. And they were on our back porch. And you could hear these puppies crying, and this thing didn't move. It didn't seem to really be bothered by our car or us, and the car door slamming or anything. And it just stood there, and the puppies were crying, and my sister come running out, and she ran up to my side, and I looked at her, and I don't know why I whispered. I said, "Do you see it?" And I pointed to it, and she saw it. But like I said, it really didn't move much. At that point, when the car headlights were off, it was just basically a shadow figure standing there by then, because there was a moon out lighting the woods up. I mean, it lit the woods up pretty good, enough to where you could see it still standing there. These puppies were crying, and my sister and I decided we were going to go try to find the puppies, because they sounded like they were right at the edge of the woods to the left. And I knew we could get there without going in this thing's direction. So I took a couple steps, about maybe, I don't know, 5 or 10 steps that way. And my dad yelled out, to stop. And so my sister and I stopped. Well, my dad yelled out, this thing took a step, I would say two steps maybe, and it was across that 10 to 15 foot opening and to the other side and back into the woods, and it disappeared. And when it disappeared, you could hear it thrashing through the woods, and it sounded like an elephant going through the woods. it was pretty loud.
Yeah, that's quite the encounter. And I'm curious about your dad. Did your dad see it, or was he just yelling at you?
No, you know, I talked to him after that and asked him about it. He never saw it, and he almost played it off like, and I don't know if maybe he was just trying to keep us from being scared, or because to this day he thinks it's a joke. You know, he thinks that Sasquatch is a joke. Doesn't believe in it. Like I said, I grew up hunting there my whole life. I've been to Canada hunting moose and bear. And my whole family are pretty big hunters. You know, we track our own bears, everything. And he's a pretty tough man, you know, and he just would never accept it, you know, and I almost got ridiculed for it. Matter of fact, I haven't talked to anybody about it. My wife overheard me talking about it, and she kind of made fun of me over it. It was just when that happens, you really don't talk to anybody about it. You know, you don't want to be ridiculed or made fun of, and of course not believed, but you know what happens. I talked to my sister about it. She knew what she saw, but never really at the time, we never thought Bigfoot, you know, we never thought about that. We were young and never had any encounters or anything like that. So didn't really think much about it, but it always intrigued me. So later on in life, I kind of did my own studying and investigating. And the more I looked into it, the more I came to the conclusion that's what I saw. You know, it's not a man. There's no bear really in that area. Occasionally somebody sees a bear, but it's black bear, you know, nothing big. We don't have any moose. I mean, the biggest animal we'd have around like that would maybe be a bull or a you know, a full size cow, but nothing like that stands up on two legs.
It's really interesting that the creature didn't react when you guys pulled up and it kind of got hit with the lights, and they tend to do that. They'll freeze. I hear a lot of witnesses say they'll freeze in place.
It did, Wes, you know, and then, you know, when it did finally make a move is when it heard my father yell. And when it did, it started heading away. You could hear it heading away. And the thing is, when it headed away, it made a lot of noise. And I know my father heard that. Asking him about it, we talked about it. He said that it was probably a cow in the woods that had gotten out. We had a big pasture field next to us that had a lot of cows in there, and he said that maybe one of those cows had got loose in the woods. That was his reaction to it. Right after that happened, these puppies, while this is going on, these puppies are still barking and crying. I wouldn't call them barking; they were crying, and it was making a lot of noise. And my sister and I wanted to go get them, so my dad went and got a flashlight. And of course, we went up into that clearing where it was standing. And I was a little nervous walking in there, but I felt better with a flashlight and my dad. And we didn't go that far into the woods, literally maybe 10, 15, 20 yards, something like that. And we found all these puppies. Of course, we gathered them up and got out of the woods. And that was pretty much the end of that encounter for that night. But for a few seconds there, you could hear them tearing through the woods, and it sounded more like one when my dad made that yell.
Yeah, and before we go on to the next day when you guys kind of looked around, did you ever find the mother of the dogs?
You know what? The mother of the dogs disappeared for a couple days. And when we had a big deck on the back of our house that overlooked the pond and those woods, and we found her, I think it was like maybe a day and a half, 2 days later, and she was up under that deck shaking. She didn't want to come out. And so you can tell that something had scared her. And you know, after putting two and two together, I realized that however those dogs got in the woods, it was because they were carried and they couldn't walk. They were just small. They were still feeding off the mother, you know.
Makes you wonder if the creature, because there is a lot of reports of them where people have puppies or kittens like on their back porch, and then one day they're just gone, and the mother is nowhere to be found. And again, it relates a lot to what you're saying, because a lot of people say, I found my dog 2 days later hiding in the woods, or I found him two days later underneath the deck. And it makes you wonder if he had, this thing had come in. I'm speculating, but it makes you wonder if it was coming in, grabbed the puppies, and you guys caught it leaving, and it dropped them and was hoping it wouldn't be seen. What do you think was going on there?
That's, you know, Wes, I think what happened was, I think there was more than one, and I think this one was watching. I think it was looking out for, I don't know how these things could carry that many puppies. I mean, I'm sure they're huge, so they could, I don't know how many puppies you can put in a hand, but the next day we saw where there was more than one that went through the woods. You could tell definite trail, knockdown area where something big had ran through the woods, and it looked like about three different, I guess you would call it paths or corridors, where something just ripped through the woods. I think that this one was standing there, maybe watching, and we pulled up and just kind of interrupted the whole episode, you know?
I know I'm speculating. I wasn't there, but it kind of sounds like that's what was going on. Now, when you went back, what kind of things did you see? You said that there was three different areas where they were ripping through the woods.
My father worked a lot, so the next day he really didn't go in the woods. And, the next day my sister and I, we walked up into the woods. It was broad daylight, so I wasn't really afraid. And you could see where something was walking through the woods. We had a real dry summer that year, so there was no really footprints. But you could see where something had knocked the weeds down and the thicket, and there was a lot of limbs broke off at a pretty good height, at like 7 foot height, where something tore through the woods and broke limbs off. And some of the limbs were green. I mean, they weren't dry, dead limbs. They were broke. And where these things had ran went into a big clearing, an opening. I shouldn't call it a clearing, but an opening in the woods that basically went through our property, and it cut our woods in two different sections. And it was full of just briars and raspberry bushes and thicket. And I even remember picking berries and stuff. You couldn't go up in there without getting tore up. I mean, there was no way you could just walk into it. There was no paths that really went through it, except maybe like deer paths, but nothing that was clear cut that a person could just walk through without getting tore up. And you could tell where something ran through that and just literally just opened it up when it ran through it.
Well, it's a lot different, I think, when you're 12, 13 years old and you run into one than when you're 40, 50 years old.
Yeah.
Because there's not quite that fear, you know, unless obviously it's growling or it's coming for you, anyone's going to have fear. But I think of, being, what'd you say, 51, pulling up now, seeing that, you'd be like, everyone get in the house, lock the doors.
Yeah. Yeah. You wouldn't want no parts of it. You know, it changed the way I looked at the woods. At 12 years old, I already was hunting on my own, rabbit and squirrel and occasional deer hunting and stuff, and been out in the woods a lot with my dad. And he taught me a lot, even at a young age. Even before I was old enough to have a gun, I would go through the woods with him when he hunted, and I had a makeshift, it looked like a gun, that was like a toy gun. And I would go with him, and he would teach me how to track and how to hunt, and what to look for. So I was pretty well versed in the woods, even at 12 years old. So I knew what was out there, you knew the animals, knew the lay of the land. And I knew that there was nothing like that out there. I knew when I saw that, even at 12 years old, without, your mind goes in a million different directions, what you're looking at. But I knew it was big, and I knew that the woods didn't hold anything that was on two legs and it was 8 foot or 9 foot tall.
I hear you. It's a fascinating account. Did anything else ever happen on that property, or was it kind of a one-time incident?
That was a one-time incident. Now, after that, like I said, it opened my eyes a lot, and I kind of always, when I was in the woods, I always had, eyes in the back of my head, and I always kind of was a little more observant. I did notice after that, and this was before YouTube and you know, of course, all the technology we have now with all the different TV shows and stuff, there wasn't really a lot of outlets to plug into to look and see what a Sasquatch or a Bigfoot is or what their habits or other people's encounters. So then you kind of just went by with what you knew. And I never knew anything about structures, stick structures and tree structures and stuff like that and nests. But now after watching a lot of the programs I've seen and looking into it, I know now that my sister and I, in playing in these woods, we'd encountered some of these, I guess you'd call them nests, and didn't even know about it. Didn't know what they were at the time. And they looked like they were made out of like a, like I guess you'd call them grapevines. And we had a lot of those on our property, and they almost looked like they were woven like a, I guess you'd call it like an igloo, is what it kind of looked like.
There's a lot of people that talk about the nests and stuff. What did you think? Did you think someone came on your property and just made this, or what were you thinking at the time?
I didn't know. I couldn't tell you at the time. I didn't know what it was. We just were fascinated by it, and actually we kind of played in it. You know, we were kids playing around in it and playing it. We didn't know. We thought maybe other kids or somebody tried to build a makeshift fort. You know, we didn't know. We just, you're at that age, you don't really have an idea of what it is. You just kind of still in the, you know, just in your youth playing around, you know, and didn't really put too much thought to it. Like I said, now when I've gotten older, I realized that, that was probably a nest. And, but the thing is, I never really saw anything like that. Anything around. And never had any weird feelings in the woods. Never felt like anything was watching me. Before that, after that happened, there'd been a few times of deer hunting where I got that same feeling of the back of the hair standing on your neck and feeling like you're being watched. I had that happen a few times as I gotten older and hunted that property, but never had any other encounters. I had, like I said, out deer hunting. I got that feeling, that real uneasy feeling, and almost like a fear. It came over me a couple times, and only other time I had that was when I had got out of the car and ran over to get a better look at this thing. And for some reason, like I said, I had a really it gave me a really bad feeling, a really uneasy feeling, almost like it was looking at something evil is what it felt like to me. And I don't know if that's my imagination or the fact that I'm just looking at something I didn't know what I was seeing, but it, more than being puzzled, I had a feeling of fear came over me when I saw this thing.
Yeah, it's a fascinating account. I mean, it really is, Carl. I enjoy accounts like this, you know, and you know, your dad is a lot like a lot of people, you know, especially hunters. I find this very common with hunters to where they're beyond skeptical to where it's almost ridiculous. You know, skepticism is good, of course, but they're beyond skeptical. And the only thing I've come up with over the years of talking to so many people is that they don't want to give up hunting. And so it's much easier to go, well, it was a cow. It was, you know, like I said, I've said it many times on the show. I can't tell you how many hunters I talk to that go, I've never seen a Sasquatch, but let me tell you about this weird bear I saw. And
yeah.
You know, it's a bear upright, you know, running a marathon on two legs. And so I think a lot of times, and, you know, hunters are smart. They know it's not a bear. I know it's not a bear. But I think that they do that so that they don't have to give up hunting because it's such a love that they have that if they come to the conclusion something like this is out there, then they probably have to give up hunting and they don't want to do that. Yes. But it is a fascinating account. What do you think that they are, Carl? What's your opinion as far as
what? You know what, Wes, that's $1 million question. If I could answer that, I could make a lot of money. You know, I think that's a question that you could write a book on if you knew the answer. But, you know, every time I think I have an idea of what it is, I hear something different and it changes my outlook on it. It's kind of how far you want to go down the rabbit hole, you know? I think being the fact that it was going to eat the puppies, I kind of lead maybe towards more that it's an animal because it's got to eat. It lives in the woods. And you know what? Another thing that people don't realize is sometimes these things aren't as far out as people think they are. You know, we lived out in the country, but we didn't live out, you know, to where, you know, we're 20 minutes from the populated area. I mean, we went like we were out so far that we were on the side of a mountain or out in the middle of on top of a mountain or something. We were just out in a rural area with a lot of land around us, but, So I think that I'd go more towards that it's something maybe natural, but then you say that, and then you hear stories of people telling you that they see lights with it and other things, you know, and the Indians, the Native Americans talk more of a folklore, you know, they have with it and a tradition with it. So it's kind of hard to put your finger on what it is, you know?
Yeah, and that's a fair answer. And again, there's no wrong answer, but it's definitely a fair answer, right? I'm with you. I mean, there was a time where I was like, nah, it's an ape. It's an ape. It's an ape. And then when you start really listening to people, when you really start hearing what they're telling you, and, you know, they'll send you pictures, and then all of a sudden you're like, I'm not so sure this is an ape. So it is. It's one of those things to where right when you think you have it figured out, wait 24 hours, you probably have nothing figured out.
Yeah.
It's kind of a frustrating topic, to be honest with you.
That's my point. It is, every time you think you've got it figured out and you've kind of can put it in a category, it changes and just totally, it totally changes on you. And then you have to start reevaluating what you thought. The biggest thing for me was the fact that I lived there so long and played in those woods and camped in those woods. And then to find out that something like that was in those woods. Me personally, I think maybe it was just passing through, because I never had another encounter, and never really, besides seeing the tree structures a couple times in the nest that we found, I never really saw any other sign of it.
Well, thank God it didn't get violent. You know what I mean? Thank goodness that it didn't, turn on you guys. And because I tend to agree with you. I think they were probably going to eat those puppies. And and you know, the dogs like that, something really, really has to shake them up for a dog to hide underneath a deck for days.
Yeah.
And really not worry about her puppies. Something must have terrified that dog. It probably walked up and grabbed them. And
another thing too is when we found those puppies, they were shaking. I mean, it wasn't like they were just disoriented or lost. They were shaking. I mean, they were shaking, and a couple of them were peeing when we picked them up. They were, you know, for an animal to start urinating like that, it has to be pretty scared, you know?
Yeah, no doubt. Well, I'm glad you got the puppies back.
Yeah.
And I appreciate coming on, Carl. That was, I really enjoyed hearing your encounter. Definitely a lot going on in Ohio.
Yeah, there. You know, after looking on YouTube and stuff, I found out that the Salt Fork area is pretty, got a lot of activity. And, you know, I never really heard any other stories from anybody else around there. But, you know, I've done a lot of YouTube and looking on the TV programs and stuff. You see that, you know, in different podcasts, stuff, and especially your podcast, I hear a lot of people talking about stuff going on in Ohio. Never really realized that there was that much activity in that area.
Yeah, definitely. Well, Carl, thank you again for coming on.
It's been my pleasure, and thank you, Wes. And I just want to thank you the fact that you have an outlet for people to kind of tell their stories and have a place that somebody can share their encounters, because there's not a lot of places out there that you can do that. And I really respect the hell out of you, man. And the fact that you're open-minded about it, but you're not bought into it too much, that you're not objective to it. You know, that I think you ask the right questions and you let people tell their story. And like I said, I respect the hell out of you for it. And I think it takes a special person to be able to do that.
Thanks, brother. That means a lot.
Sure thing.
Well, next up on the show, I want to welcome Scott. Scott, thanks for coming on.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I really appreciate you being here. And I know you had an encounter in Ohio, and this was several years back, wasn't it, Scott?
Yeah, it was like 20-some-odd years back ago.
Okay. Well, if you would, just kind of start from the beginning and tell us what you were doing and what did you see?
Well, me and a friend of mine were going to go to the next town over to get a order of some pizza for a party we were having that night, and it was getting almost dark when we left, and on the way back, it was pitch black pretty much, and we're coming down these, I don't know if anybody's ever lived in the old rural Ohio counties up there, it's like there's no streetlights or anything, it's pitch black, and we were coming around this one corner, traveling around about 40 or 45 miles an hour probably, and seen something big along the side of the road, and when we drove by, I happened to look up through the sunroof that we were in, the car we had a sunroof in it, looked up, and I saw two big red eyes looking down at me. It was on the side of the road, had to have been probably 8.5 feet tall, maybe a little bit more. We looked at each other and said, did you see that? Yeah. Okay. Well, we didn't say anything else after that because, you know, people at that time thought you were crazy when you talked about that kind of stuff, especially up there in Ohio where we were from. So we just kind of kept it to ourselves the whole time and pretty much it. I mean, I went back the next day and looked and made some measurements and stuff, and it had to have been, I'd say 8.5-9 feet tall to look over the road like that.
Was it shaped like a man? Was it like a man?
It was. Yeah, it was. You could see like a head and shoulders, but in the darkness, happened so quick that you could barely make out any features of it. But you could see like a head and shoulders, and it was like hunched over, leaning over the road itself. So, as it's standing up on two legs, you can definitely see where we're standing up.
You guys must have been pretty close passing by. I mean,
probably within probably 8 feet, maybe 9 feet of it.
Well, one question.
If it was on the side of the road, the roads up there where we were from, they had like a 2 foot berm on the side, and then it went out and went up like another little berm to the farmer's field where this happened to be at. It was like another 2 feet high in the air. And looks like he was standing, or whatever it was standing up on top of that bank, 1 foot down on the berm, 1 foot up on the bank, looking out over the road like he was getting ready to take a step to go across the road when we happened to come by there and see it. So.
The other question I want to ask you was about the eyes. I know you had mentioned red eyes.
Red.
Was it eye shine, do you think, or were they glowing?
What it looked, thinking back about it, what it looked to me like is, you know, when you took a snapshot with the old photo, with the old flash bulbs on, how your eyes would turn red in the picture.
Yeah.
That's what it looked like. It was, I can't tell you if it was coming from the eyes itself because the headlights were already past it. By the time I looked up the sunroof, they were already past it. So I don't know if it was from the headlights or what, but they were definitely red when you looked up at it.
Was there any smell that you remember?
No, we had, because it was wintertime. It was colder up there, so we had the windows up, so we didn't really smell anything. I have had a few things down here in Florida happen where I smelled stuff, but I have never seen anything, but I smelled like the old rotten skunk smell.
Yeah, they're definitely in Florida too as well. You know, what did you and your buddy, as you guys drove past it and kept going, what was the conversation like? What did you guys say?
Pretty much, did you see what I just saw? And we go, yeah, what was that? We don't know. It was big. Let's get out of here.
Yeah.
That was pretty much it.
Let's get going. Step on it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. We're not turning around to go back and see what it was. So.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I don't blame you. And I don't really understand why they do that. You know, there's a lot of encounters, Scott, where people are like roadside crossings. I never understand roadside crossings because you would think, you know, a dumb deer is going to go out in front of a car or something like that. But most predators won't. Most predators won't step out, and, you know, if they hear you coming. And these things will, you know.
Yeah, where this was at was like on the bend of the road. The farmer had his farm was on the right side of the road. And there was the big lake that we lived on was on the other side of the road. So I think he was going from the farmer's fields over to the lake to get him something to drink or find some fish or something to eat over there on that side. That's what I'm thinking. And we just have to come across him at the right time.
I think that's the sighting most people want, you know, where you are in a car, you're driving past it, you know, and there's really no danger, you know, for the most part.
And exactly.
One thing that a lot of witnesses say too, like when they're on the side of the road, is they freeze. These things will freeze like a tree and they won't move. They'll stay very still. And I realize all of this is happening very quickly as you're passing it, but did it look down at you guys or did it look as you guys?
No, it was. Yeah, when I looked up through the sunroof, it was eyes were actually looking right down at me. It was looking right down inside this car. Like he was getting ready to take a step across the street, and here we came. Oh, crap, here comes a car type of thing.
Yeah, that, like I said, I think that's the encounter most people want. What do you think, Sasquatches, Scott? What's your opinion?
It varies from time to time, but most of the part, I think it's some kind of a non-human primate that's running around that hasn't been categorized yet. I think if they actually find one, it's going to solve a lot of questions about where we actually came from, I think, as far as the human race goes. I think it's part of our, part of our
evolution. Yeah,
exactly.
So you think it's somewhere in the tree, family tree?
Yeah, somewhere between Gigantopithecus and us, I think, somewhere along the line. There's been a mix-up somewhere. There's been a mixing somewhere of the DNA somewhere.
Yeah, you could be right. You could be right. It would be nice to know what these things are, you know.
Yeah, it would be.
And plus the reaction you see with these creatures. I mean, for the most part, animals will bolt when they hear a car coming, and this thing just stood there waiting for you guys to go by, which is odd animalistic behavior. It doesn't seem to fit, you know.
And I guess I think we caught him just at the right time, just as he was getting ready to leave that farmer's field and go around it, because it was a blind turn where we came around. So if we'd have been another 10 seconds slower, we probably would have ran right over him, probably, if he'd have been in the middle of the road.
Thank God that didn't happen, you know what I mean?
Yeah, right? But, yeah, that would have been a mess. But I've had some stuff happen to me down here in Florida, too, when I was working at one of these box stores down here. I've had a few sounds that I heard that didn't make any sense, and some smells and stuff down here in Florida. But other than that, yeah, it's...
What kind of sounds?
Just like chattering. You can hear just like chattering out in the woods, and you can hear coyotes off in the distance howling back there, and then all of a sudden they'd shut up, and you hear this chatter going on. And you'd smell the... like a cross between a wet dog and a skunk smell coming up out of the bog or the swamp area that was behind where I was working. And that happened on a few occasions down here.
What do you make of that chatter? Did it sound kind of like the Sierra sounds from Ron Moorhead?
Yeah, it did sound kind of like that, a little bit higher pitch though. It was like it might've been like a juvenile maybe. It was really like a higher pitch than that sound. And it was just like real quick chatter back and forth a couple times and then gone. Lasted probably maybe 20 minutes. I hear stuff going back and forth, and you hear the coyotes starting again after the sound went away. Then the coyotes would start back up all over the place.
Yeah, that chatter creeps me out.
It was kind of weird. And I was outside by myself with unloading a truck outside. And it was kind of, okay. Let me get this done as quick as possible and get out of here. This is weird.
Yeah, be careful. They're definitely in Florida, you know. And a lot of times if they're chattering, it's obviously more than one. Yeah. And I think if you smell the smell that you're describing, they're relatively close, too, if you're smelling it.
Yeah, where our parking lot was at, there's a swamp right behind it. It was probably 30 feet from the parking lot. Was probably about 30 feet wide, and it went into a swampy area with a fence around it. So, I mean, it's fairly safe, but, you know, I never know what these things can do with a fence, you know.
Yeah, be careful out there, man.
No doubt. Yeah, no worries there.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming on, Scott. Thanks so much for taking the time, and thank you for listening to the show, man.
No problem. Listen to it all the time. And if I see anything else or hear of anything else, I'll let you know.
Thanks, brother.
Thanks for having me.
Jason to the show. Jason, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Wes. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate you being here. And I know you've had a couple encounters, and we were just talking about how there's a lot that goes on in upstate New York and how vast and open a lot of those areas are, beautiful areas. If you would, I know you've had a few encounters, then kind of a strange incident at a mall. But let's start with the rock throwing incident. If you would kind of just tell us what you were doing and what happened.
Sure. I was probably about 16 and I'm 38 years old now. I was born in a town called Walton. It's about 40 minutes from where I am now. And like most towns around here, it's the middle of nowhere. It's just farm after farm after farm. Little backstory. I got cheated on by a girlfriend. I was leaving her house, and it was a trailer park. So I just walked to a little pond, maybe 50 feet off the road, which is a back road. And, you know, I was crying and going through the emotions, thought I loved her or whatever. So I was really upset and just kind of sitting there. And I'd heard stories about this place. It's sort of like a little dam. There's no real purpose for it, but there was a little like outhouse building. I think it might have been for like the generator or something. But the pond itself was probably 200 feet by 200 feet. So it was a good sized pond. And I was just sitting there and out of nowhere, I hear sticks breaking. I wasn't sure what it was, but I looked up in time to see a boulder at least the size of my head. It came flying from out of the woods, probably 40, 50 feet up into the woods. And I caught it right before it hit the water, and it landed in the center of the pond, which was mind-blowing to me that anything could throw something like this that far. It literally made no sense. And the concussion from the impact of the rock was so great that that alone scared me. And needless to say, I got up and ran and haven't been back there. At the time, I guess I really didn't understand what happened, and I tried to tell myself it was a ghost or something.
Yeah, I was going to ask you what you thought, because that's pretty unnerving. Yeah. I mean, that's a big boulder. You know,
it really was, man. Like, the power, I mean, behind that thing, I can't imagine something being able to do that. It's mind-blowing.
You hear that a lot with, guys out fishing and stuff, where they'll talk about big boulders being thrown at them and it seems to come out of, you know, and they're not, it's not something falling down off the side of a mountain. It's being thrown through and above trees, you know?
Exactly. It had such an arc to it. Like, it's just mind blowing. It really was.
And then, so you decided to leave, which I, you know, don't blame me for leaving. I probably would have too.
Yeah.
But was it a couple of years later? I know we were talking about you hit something.
Yes. Actually, just prior to that, where I was living at the time, this was probably about 4 years years ago. I was living in a place called Trout Creek, which is in between where I was born and where I live now, which is Oneonta, New York. It's the heart of the Catskills. And people think when you say New York City, well, this is far from city. It's just country. And I was living in a house right next to the reservoir. It's called the Cannonsville Reservoir, and it feeds all the drinking water of New York City. So it goes hundreds of miles underground, the water itself. But I had been there about 2 years living there, and my closest neighbor was probably 20 minutes. That's how far out I was. So I'm a smoker, and every time I would go out on the porch, it would be real late, you know, anywhere from midnight to 2 a.m., and I would hear coyotes just going crazy, like packs of them, which by itself didn't seem weird. But then shortly after, I would hear what sounds like a perfectly healthy tree not far from me, maybe 300 yards, because you could see from my house clear to the wood line and the little stream that feeds this reservoir. And you would hear large, healthy trees being just snapped, and then the coyotes would go quiet. You know, and after my most recent encounter, I did a lot of research and I've been able to piece all these things together. It seems like Sasquatch activity. I would hear wood knocks at the same house almost nightly. Never a howl or anything, but a lot of weird things like that. And then I should back up a little. I had one other experience that I can't say was or wasn't a Sasquatch, but I was probably 17, so about a year after the pond incident, me and my friends were in the woods, and we would always have bonfires and get drunk and whatever. We decided to get bold, and we got bored, and we just walked out in the woods, and it was one of those very dark nights, no moon. Now, when I ask my friends about this encounter now, they all believe it was a bull, but there was no fences to keep said bull in an area. And I understand why they say that, because it sounded like one. It was snorting and so deep that it did sound like a bull. But it didn't make any sense because the trees are so close together. Well, long story short, we heard that and we all almost pooped our pants. So we started running as fast as we could. I remember my friend diving over a barbed wire fence that was down near our campfire, and he got all cut up. But as we were running, not only was it snorting or grunting or whatever it was doing, it sounded so ferocious. I mean, like it wanted to kill us. I could feel the ground. Every step it took, I could feel the ground moving. It would move me, and that's what terrified us so much. I mean, I guess we said it was a bull because it's the only thing that made sense that would actually move us when it walked or ran.
Did you ever get a look at it?
I didn't. I mean, I looked back a few times, but all I could see was trees and darkness and my friends panicking.
I gotcha.
So it was very dark, but looking back, I'm sure that's what it was. Because a bull, there's no way a bull would make it through those trees as fast. I mean, it was keeping right up to us. I'm sure whatever it was could have caught us if it wanted to.
Oh, I gotcha. So when you guys took off running, it chased you guys.
Yeah, it pursued us.
I gotcha.
Right until we got near the fire, and we packed up and left. That was the last time I went there.
Yeah, it's like I was telling you before, Jason, there's a lot that goes on in upstate New York. I've talked to a lot of people from there, and, you know, you had made the comment about New York City, and when I first got into this, some guy, you know, they would say, well, I'm from New York, and I was like, right. Oh, okay, here we go. And and then I remember the witness I had on, he sent me pictures of his backyard, and it looked like the Pacific Northwest. He was in upstate New York, and it looked like the Pacific Northwest. I mean, it was beautiful.
It was similar, right?
Very beautiful, yeah. I was shocked. I have no doubt that they're up there and in that area. Tell me about this recent encounter with...
All right. Well, I'll just tell you the one with my car real fast so it's out of the way.
Oh, that's right.
I was driving a Pontiac. That's all right. I was driving a Pontiac Grand Am. I was leaving where I am now, which is the Southside Mall in Oneonta, New York. I just got on the highway. I was just getting up to speed, probably 65. And it just sounded and felt like my car exploded out of nowhere. And me and my fiance, we didn't see anything. So whatever it was either on all fours or was small enough that it was lower than the hood of our car. And, you know, I slammed on the brakes. I got out. We were both shaking. Pieces of my front end were all the way down the highway, 200 yards behind me. It took out the whole left front side of my car, the light, the bumper. The fender was bent back so the door didn't open. I mean, it was a really hard impact. And I noticed a smell of like wet dog. So I was in my mind thinking wolf or, but it didn't really make sense. Whatever this was short, but must have weighed so much in order to do that to our car. Like I said, we were doing 65 miles an hour and there wasn't a trace of anything. There was a few hairs in the cracked part of my front bumper and a couple little spots of blood, but nobody, no nothing. A few minutes later, a police officer pulled up. And, you know, I was showing him the damage in the hair, and he's like, yeah, probably a wolf. Really nonchalant about it. He helped us pick up the pieces of the car, and then, you know, instead of filing a report or anything, just said, well, how about this? You just follow me 20 miles until your exit, and then you just go home and get your car fixed. So that's what we did.
Strange. And the animal wasn't around, huh? There was nothing there?
Nothing. Yeah. Nothing, man. It doesn't make any sense. But after this most recent thing that happened to me, I believe I hit one of them, maybe a juvenile.
Yeah. And I've had people on that have hit smaller ones, you know, and it does cause a lot of damage.
Incredible, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Incredible amount of damage.
Well, let's go into this most recent one.
Okay, no problem. So Wednesdays and Thursday nights, I work security, covering security at this mall. Most nights, I'm out at 11 p.m., sometimes 1. So I'm the very last person here, and I set the alarms and leave. Well, this night, it was probably 6 weeks ago, I was locking up, set the alarm, and I decided to go around the back way, the opposite way I usually leave. And this is, like I said, it's a city, but it's surrounded by woods. It's technically called the city of Oneonta, but it's in the middle of the woods. So in my mind, the last place I would see one is here. So I'm pulling around the back, and I get behind a store called Harbor Freight, and there's also a Rent-A-Center store right next to it, and a Mount Fuji right next to that, which is like Japanese food. And right when I got to where the Rent-A-Center vans are parked, I seen something on all fours. It was running so fast, Wes, I can't even explain it. I mean, nothing should run that fast. But I caught the bottom portion of this being, so probably from the hips down. It was on all fours. And when I seen it, it was just darting behind the Rent-A-Center van. So like I said, I only caught the ass end. Excuse my language. The first thing I noticed right away was the speed. And the second was it had a behind, just like you or I, only it was covered in dark hair. I would say black. And it had no tail and no stub of a tail. Not even nothing. Just a round, perfect buttocks. So I was very alarmed, obviously, and I slammed on my brakes. I was scared but also interested, so I put it in park, got out, and was looking around, and I could hear whatever it was smashing through the trees, which the tree line is maybe 40 feet from the parking lot, so it's, like I said, surrounded by woods. Right after the crashing, I noticed, there was no way to not notice, it was a wall of odor unlike anything I've ever smelled. It was so pungent that I couldn't stop inhaling the air because I'd never smelled anything like it. If I were to describe it, it would be as if a human didn't wash their feet for 3 to 5 years, literally. It smelled just like dirty feet, but so, so strong. To me, it seemed like it gave the odor off because it was scared. Now, I could be wrong. I don't know that. It's just the feeling I got. Sort of like a deterrent. So I'm sitting there smelling the air, turning around in circles, and this thing's just taking off.
And you had mentioned it was by the dumpster?
Yeah. Oh, yes. I forgot to mention that. It was coming from the dumpster, the Japanese food dumpster.
Oh, it was actually coming out of the dumpster.
I didn't see it, but it was the only thing where it had come from. It was the only thing there is those two dumpsters.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
So it had to be.
You and I were just talking about, I was telling you that story about, I think it's in Oklahoma, and it's a Native American reservation. They got a big casino there, and
right,
they've caught this thing on camera, and most of the employees have seen it. It comes out of the wood line, digs through the dumpster, turns around, goes right back to the wood line, and a lot of people, when they heard that, they're like, oh, come on. But there was a lot of the security guys came forward and was like, no, we capture this thing all the time on, because, you know, the moment you drive into a casino, any casino, you're on camera.
True.
And so a lot of the security guys were saying, no, it comes out and it's huge. You can tell when it walks past cars how big this thing is.
Wow.
And it just digs food out of the dumpster and then turns around. It doesn't seem to really bother anyone, but it'll do it in the middle of the night. It'll come and get food and go back. And, you know,
that's incredible.
These things live on the outskirts of civilization.
They do, right?
That. Yeah. So it doesn't shock me one bit. I mean, you know, you think of a mall, you know, and I think of malls, I'm more in the city, and there'd be no way that you would potentially see one at a mall. But there is malls out there. You know, if you go up north, I can kind of tell what you mean. I mean, we're surrounded by forests, and it's late at night, probably everything's closing down by then. Malls probably closed by then or getting ready to close.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was literally the last person here. And, you know, I'm back here right now looking at the same spot where it happened. And it's sort of baffling to me because on the other side of this timber line, which is about 50 feet thick, is maybe 4 or 5 houses. But there's kind of a snake trail of timber that goes in front of the houses, then around them, and then up the mountain.
Yeah, it could have been. So, definitely, you know, and when I was telling you, hey, why don't you think it was a bear? I mean, and you're right, it's more of a human butt with hair on it is what you were looking at. How big do you think it was?
I would say it was about my size. I'm 6 foot, about 180. And, you know, I'd say about my size, maybe a little smaller. It looked like a man.
Yeah, it's interesting.
As far as physical features, I mean, it looked like me if I was covered in black hair.
Yeah, be careful out there at night, man. You don't want to startle it. You know, that can go bad.
Yeah, I've been a little worried.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you, is it foolish to try to seek them out, maybe get a picture, feed it? Is that not wise?
Well, I always tell people to treat it the same way you would a bear. That's my advice. You're not going to get too close to a black bear. Black bear's going to run anyway, but I mean...
True.
You know, you might feed it, they're cute, you know, and all this other stuff, but that same bear can kill you in 2 seconds.
Okay.
So I would just be careful. Everyone does their own thing, and I'm not the authority on Sasquatch, but I personally wouldn't feed them. Try and get a picture of it.
Okay. I do have two. Not the best, but you can definitely see a conical head. The other one, it seems that it was a different day, but same area. It seems like it's standing and looking at me. So I'll send them to you.
Yeah, please do. Please do.
I definitely will.
And what do you think Sasquatch is, Jason?
That's a very good question, man. I've been thinking about it a lot. And I think your theories are almost spot on. I think there's different species of them. Less evolved ones and then more evolved ones that are close to us. I haven't personally seen the ones that look more human, but... there's just so many accounts. It's, you know, all these people aren't lying. That's just absurd. And, you know, I was a little nervous coming forward with my story too, but I think it's important that people know that these things are coming close to us. Like very close.
Yeah, you're right. They're starting to come up really close. I think we're encroaching and they're encroaching, and I'm surprised more people haven't been killed, to be honest with you. There has been people who have been killed, but I'm surprised more haven't.
Me too. And, you know, maybe it's only a matter of time as they get more hungry. But I believe, oh, God, it's a tough question. I think they're their own entity, not paranormal in any way, but an off branch of us somewhere down the line. You know, they chose woods, we chose city.
Yeah.
So I would say half human, half some type of animal.
Yeah, that's a fair answer. I mean, you could be right. It's like when you talk to a lot of eyewitnesses, they'll say, you know, had a man's face but a human's body.
Right.
But it would be nice to know what they are. You know what I mean?
It really would. So, do you think that'll ever happen, in your opinion?
I think eventually it will. Yeah, I think eventually it will. And I think, but it's kind of like UFOs. You know, back when I was a kid, if you said you saw a UFO, you were nuts. You were the crazy person.
True.
And now it's the whole dynamic of that whole topic has changed. It's almost like if you don't believe in aliens, you're nuts because there's too much evidence.
That's true.
You know?
Too many witnesses.
Yeah, too many witnesses.
I myself, I'm sorry to cut you off. I have a couple of those encounters as well as a couple ghost encounters. I don't know if you want to do it at a different time or I could just tell you fast.
Yeah, let's hear it. I'd love to hear it.
Okay. The same area by the reservoir, me and my fiance were in the driveway just kind of killing time. And we didn't hear anything, which was the weirdest part. It was absolutely silent. And we looked up and maybe 40 feet above the trees was a triangular shaped object. It was, I'd say, about 30 feet across by 30 feet across, and it had three very, very powerful lights on the front. We were both, I mean, our jaws were on the floor. We had no idea what we were looking at, and it kind of just stopped right maybe 20 feet from our car, from us. And it was just sitting there, silent, not moving, not making a sound, with the brightest lights. I mean, it lit up the forest. And just as quickly as it snuck up on us, it was gone.
Now, when you say gone, what do you mean? Like it vanished or it just took off?
It took off. It took off. And it wasn't like incredible light speed takeoff. It just went towards the reservoir, over the reservoir, until we couldn't see it anymore. but no streaks of anything, no sound, just I have no explanation.
That's very unnerving. Very, very unnerving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And why was it looking at us if it was?
I'll tell you real quick, Jason, there's a thing, I'll send it to you. There's a video I'll send to you.
Okay.
Before it, and forgive me for taking your time, but
no, you're fine.
We were, I was out on in my backyard the other night. This is probably a couple weeks ago. And I'm looking up and Woody was over and my older brother. And I'm sitting there, yep. I'm looking up at the sky and I'm like, what in the world is that? And I'm like, that is a bright, bright star. And
oh, wow.
The more I sat and looked at it, the more it wasn't a star.
It was moving, wasn't it?
It really wasn't moving. It was just kind of hovering there and it was big, whatever it was. And it looked like there was lights going around it. And I tried to take a zoom in with my iPhone and take a picture of it, but it, you know, it just comes out like a blob squatch. It just looked like smudge. Yep. And so I walked in and I grabbed Woody and I said, come out here real quick. Take a look at this. And so he looked at it and I said, am I going nuts? Is there something there in the sky? Like, am I losing it? And he looked up and he went and grabbed his binoculars and we started looking at it through the binoculars. And it was kind of a triangle shape, and it was brilliant in colors. It was like blues and greens and yellows and
wow.
Anyway, we didn't think much after that. You know, people were telling me it was SpaceX, and I looked up SpaceX on online, and it wasn't SpaceX. But a lady had posted a video of it, and I threw it up on the blog. I'll send it to you if you're interested.
Yeah, absolutely.
But she zoomed in on it. She had a camera lens, you know how they can zoom in on it.
Yeah.
And she sat there and did a video of it. And that's exactly what we saw. And hers was in Ohio, but that whatever she captured is exactly what I saw through the binoculars. And it was kind of hovering over between Portland and Vancouver, just kind of chilling up in the sky.
And you didn't see it make any movements?
No, it didn't really. I mean, the lights moved, but the
right.
And it sat there forever. I mean, it sat. We went an hour later, went back outside, and it was still sitting there. And obviously, the next day it was gone, but it was still sitting. And I was just curious if anyone in Vancouver and Portland had seen it because it was so bright and it was so out of place and it was too low. It wasn't like up in the atmosphere like a star. It was some sort of craft sitting there. And I'm not saying it's aliens. It could have been something the government had.
Well, who knows?
Bizarre, you know?
Well, the weird part is like, since that encounter with that triangle I seen, I've been keeping an eye on the skies. And, God, I can't even count how many times I've seen what looks like a star all of a sudden just start moving. And when I zoomed in a few times, the same thing. I would see reds, greens, yellows blinking. But many times I've seen this happen. I mean, you can see the stars so well when you're in the country. I'm sure you know. I've watched this thing, and sometimes it does impossible movements. It's about as high as a star. It would, if you didn't know any better, it would look just like one if you didn't see it moving. And I would see it do impossible movements. Like, it'd be just boogieing along and all of a sudden make an impossible right turn, just like it was nothing. And then zigzag, you know, back and forth, and just impossible movements that we don't have technology for, that I know of.
Yeah, so you know it's not a satellite, because satellites don't do that. They just kind of slowly drift.
Yeah, they kind of putter along, right? Like,
yeah,
it was pretty incredible. I mean, I've seen it, I would say, at least 10 times, different places. A lot of it over that reservoir I was telling you.
Was that the only real close encounter you had with a ship like that? I know.
Well, this where I was born is Walton, New York. It's about 40 miles from here. So I lived one house from the county fair, and you know, the county fair is there for a week out of the year in August. The rest of the time it's empty, and it was our playground. Growing up, all the kids on the block would play night tag and stuff there. So this is also where I seen my first ghost. But to answer your question, yes, I seen something. I was standing on my street. It was probably midnight. I was right at the stop sign. So my street would go to the fair, and then you go to the other end and go to stop sign, you can make a left or a right. I heard a really odd sound, like a buzzing, like zzz, and I turn around to see a red streak of light as if someone had a laser light, but it was only about 2 feet long. And I would say a diameter of like a quarter. This thing was moving so fast, West. I mean, like 60, 70 miles an hour right at me. I was freaking out. I had no idea what it was. And just as fast as it got to me, as soon as it hit the stop sign, it made an impossible right-hand turn and continued on down that road towards the cemetery. And I only told one friend because it just seemed so insane. Like, I have no idea what it was.
Yeah, we get reports of those. They call them the rods. And
really?
They're very similar to a, I'm sure you've heard of the balls of light or what people call yes. orbs. There's Absolutely. Another thing that a lot of people see, and that's they call them rods. And they're just like how you described. They're, it's kind of like, you know, in Star Wars when they shoot the phaser and the laser Absolutely. Comes up. And it, that thing, if you could slow it down a little bit, you would see it moving. I've heard of that. I've actually heard of that. A lot of people have seen that.
Well, that's reassuring. That's exactly. You're spot on when you say the laser gun.
If you get a chance, look up rods.
Okay.
Yeah. And look them up online.
I absolutely will.
Yeah.
If you remember that game Snake,
yeah.
The old game,
yeah.
That's the type of turn it made. I mean, it was so precise. It was just impossible. Yeah. You could see it bend as it turned. Just like that game I'm telling you about.
Yeah, that's interesting.
It was incredible. So the spirit, I was probably 11 years old. Same area, just one street over. There's three different streets that go to this fairground, so I was on the middle one. And there was a small hill right at the entrance. So me and about eight of my friends were all sleigh riding, and it wasn't quite dark yet. You could still see. The snow was real deep on us. I mean, it was hard to walk. It was that deep. But it was the type of snow that you almost could stand on top of it, and then you'd fall through. So we're just sleigh riding along, and all of a sudden, there's a track that goes around the entire fair. It's used for derby and snowmobile races, stuff like that. Coming from the left side of us on the track was a guy. And he's effortlessly running. That's the first thing I noticed. And the second thing I noticed was his attire. He had a black and white striped shirt on. He had black shorts on. And he had sweat wristbands and a sweatband on his head. And he's just running along. He's not looking at us at all. And I don't know what they were thinking, my friends, but I was thinking it was really odd to be wearing that in the dead of winter. And as he got right to the center in front of us, that's when my jaw hit the floor, because I noticed not only could I see him, and he was, you know, besides the black in his shirt, he was basically gray. And I could see the fence posts right through him as he was running. It was mind-blowing. So us being little idiots, we didn't really place it together because it didn't seem right. First of all, the light, you know, it was still daylight, sort of. And we just started, like, yelling at him and kind of chasing him. And we couldn't keep up. The snow was so deep, it was almost up to our knees, and we kind of just gave up as he kept moving along down the track. And right before my eyes, he dissipated. Like, evaporated. Not just, you know, it was sort of like smoke. Just up in smoke. So I decided, you know, I try to pull myself up to get up, and I look down, and there was no tracks at all. He didn't leave any footprints.
Did you ever look up the history of that place and see if...
I have, because I've also seen orbs right maybe a quarter mile from there is a cemetery, and I've seen orbs there my whole life. One time, I was staring at a grave because above it was like a beach ball-sized pulsating blue orb. As I got closer, it just was gone, but I've seen these type of things throughout my life, and everywhere around here, from here to Long Island, it's all Indian land. All the towns, even this town, Oneonta, is named after Indians. So I don't know if that has something to do with it. His attire, that guy's attire looked like sort of like a prison shirt, but he was leisurely jogging, not like running from something.
Yeah, that's bizarre. That would creep me out, man. That would creep me out.
Yeah, not far from there. I got to send you this other picture. My mother-in-law lives in Trout Creek, which is right near that reservoir. And her cat died. The next day, she's feeding this stray dog that comes around. He's a real lovable dog. And she goes back inside and turns around to take a picture of him. She had told me that she kept hearing her cat meow even though it died. And I'm like, wow, that's weird. So she took this picture and you see the puppy. But if you zoom in and go to the right, you can see a cat. You could see its eyes. You could see its tail. It's there, but not there. And the cat, like I said, died the day before. But there it is sitting on the deck.
Yeah. That's
I'll send you that picture.
Yeah, send it to me. I'd love to see it, man.
I definitely will. What's the easiest way to send it to you? Messenger? Or?
Yeah, you can send it to me on Messenger.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd love to see it. It's one of those things.
Yeah, absolutely.
That stuff goes on. You know, a lot of people don't believe in ghosts. And I always laugh when, you know, someone, and I'll bash Bigfoot researchers for a moment, but they'll you know, they believe in Bigfoot, but they don't believe in ghosts, and they don't believe
it makes no sense.
It makes no sense to me either. It's like if you
think about it, how many millions of people have passed? Now, we don't know what happens, but once you've experienced something like this, you know that there's something. I mean, he was as real as you or I until he dissipated.
Yeah, and that's weird that you're able to kind of see through him and see that the fence post.
I'll never forget it, man.
Yeah.
Incredible. But yeah, the whole area has a weird aura about it, history. It's, I don't know exactly what went on, and I haven't researched enough, but it's ancient, I can tell you that.
Yeah. Well,
the whole area.
Keep me up to date, man. Let me know if you're ever around that mall again and if it's coming in, and I'd be real
absolutely
curious to know. It doesn't sound like it was a big one, you know, running off.
No, it doesn't. But the picture I got says otherwise. I don't know if it's Papa, maybe, but I'll send you the pictures I have, and I'm going to take your advice. I've been tempted to feed it, tempted to go out there, because I think I see like where they might hang out, but I also don't want to be harmed.
Yeah, in situations like that, I think it's best to stay away from them because they're already eating. And so when you show up, it's competition. Same thing.
True.
It's kind of the same theory as hunters. The reason why most hunters get more of the aggressive encounters is the hunters are doing the same thing the Sasquatch is doing. And it's kind of like when a hunter comes into your area, you know what I mean? You're like, oh,
that's
man, can
point.
You leave?
It's like a threat, a competition threat.
Yeah, a competition threat.
That's a really good point. I really appreciate you having me on. And what you do, Wes, is a huge favor. I hope you know that, because there needs to be a place. We're not all crazy. There's too many of us.
Yeah,
too many people have witnessed these things, you know, and there's nowhere to go. So what you do is epic.
Yeah, thank you, Jason. Thanks for coming on, and thank you for the kind words.
Absolutely, Wes. It's great to hear from you.
And that's it for tonight, everyone. Remember, if you've had an encounter, shoot me an email. My email address is wes@sasquatchchronicles.com. And if you get a chance, check out sasquatchchronicles.com. You can become a member and get additional shows. We're going to close out with a little Fabric tonight. If you get a chance, check them out on YouTube. It's a cool band from the UK, Fabric. Have a good night, everyone.
sports betting is sweeping across the country faster than the coronavirus, and Wagering Week is your antidote. I'm Tom Martin, and I'm a veteran sports analyst and respected sports handicapper who helped build ESPN's brand. I've been recognized and awarded by Pro Football Weekly and Gaming Today magazine as the honest handicapper. Let the other guys give you the same old boring sports talk with the same tired storylines. We'll give it to you straight here every Friday on Wagering Week. Don't gamble with other podcasts. Let Sports Garden Network's Wagering Week help your bottom line.